the Rise Up See Red podcast, all about the Arizona Cardinals and the NFL, featuring insider and outsider perspectives. Enjoy the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. Now here are your hosts, Jess Root and Seth Cox.
Hello, Arizona Cardinals fans, and welcome to the latest edition of the Rise Up Z-Red podcast. I'm your host, Jess Root, from CardsWire.com, the USA Today NFL Wire site covering the Arizona Cardinals. Recording on a Thursday night with Revenge of the Bird, Seth Cox, SB Nation's Arizona Cardinals site, and also one of the hosts of the original Draft Breakdown podcast. We've already had one show this week. This is episode 461. Seth, we've now split our shows up into two, plus the bonus show that I will record on Friday with Giants Wire's Dan Benton. We're starting to hit the 2-3 shows a week, so hope everyone's happy about this. This is dedicated to the Cardinals versus the Giants, Seth. And what the hard part is, do we even know what the Giants are after 1 week of play?
No, this was the worst possible game one to get an idea of what the Giants are. I mean, not just their play on the field, but the fact that they had to deal with basically a torrential downpour, and the fact that now by the time this drops, we'll probably know if they're two best offensive players are going to play. But like, it was a bad week for the Giants, and it made it where you really don't even know what to expect coming into this game, because you now are saying, okay, was the 22 Giants a fluke, or was the Giants game one a fluke? And you know, obviously there might be a happy medium there, but for the most part, we just really have no idea yet.
Yeah. So let's talk about what we think we can expect from the Giants, both on offense and defense. I will say this, like, if we go back to way back in the offseason when the schedule first came out and we were making schedule predictions, I had the Cardinals winning this game. That's the only game that they win in the first, I think, 8. And if you look at, like, if we look at their schedule, like, since they didn't beat Washington, if they don't beat the Giants, we might not see a win. And I don't know how long, because the next ones coming up are Dallas, nope. San Francisco, nope. Cincinnati, that's unless
Joe Burrow's turned into a pumpkin.
Right. You know. Unless last week is anything to show what's happened moving forward. Since he's a nope, Seattle or the Rams, nope. Seattle, nope. Baltimore, nope.
And that's a great way to look at it, is like, there was so many odd outcomes, and we didn't get into a ton of them, but there's so many odd outcomes that have, you know, came out of week one, whether it's Kansas City losing to Detroit at home, the Texans looking awful and then being favored over an Indy team that played a good Jacksonville team close, but now, you know, Jacksonville's home dogs. Like, you and I were talking about before, like, these lines right now, they're balancing taking last week into account when you look at things like Dallas minus, what, 9.5 over the New York Jets.
Yeah.
But then they're like still like got one toe in. Well, last year this team was really good, so we don't want. And so that just makes it, I mean, it makes for like a lot of question marks, which, let's be honest, makes for a more fun NFL start to the season. You know, it may get back into, oh, it's the Chiefs and, you know, the Eagles and 49ers. We may just get there eventually.
Yeah.
But right now, you know, it feels like there's other teams that have a chance.
And that's totally valid. And, you know, people will look at the Giants and will say, hey, they were a playoff team last year. They won a road playoff game. But let's not forget, so and I think we probably said it on this show, last year, Brian Daboll might have gotten the very best he could have out of that team last year. They had the ball bounced their way. It felt like they were a pretty fluky playoff team. And then they go to the postseason. Who they play? It felt like when the playoffs came around, that matchup was fraud versus fraud, and the Vikings were the bigger fraud.
Well, and you look at it, it's crazy because you just kind of mentioned it, you know, and then tonight, the Vikings, after winning so many one-score games, and we talked about that with the Cardinals in 2021, right? Like, there's always the average, like, even over year to year, even if it's different teams, different, you know, players, different, all of this stuff, you return to the average of one score games. And the Vikings, after last year winning just an absurd, I think they won the most one score games.
11-0
in NFL history. They're 0-2.
They're 0-2 this year. And 0-3 when you go back to the playoffs. They've lost their last three one-score games.
Right. And so it's just like you said, there's fluky, there's, like, it's just odd. And so, you know, you hate to say the word luck because they put in the time, the energy, the effort, obviously. So there is a ton of skill involved. But did the Vikings, and, you know, now focusing on the Giants as our upcoming opponent, did they, you know, push their luck or lose all their luck in last season? And like you said, like, think about that game last week for the Giants. Ugh. I mean, did you see that stat? I'll find it.
Yes. Quick. So like they were shut out. They had three turnovers, had a field goal return for a touchdown, and
gave up seven and sacks.
Had seven sacks, three turnovers. No other team had that happen to them in the same season ever.
Right.
And they did it in one game.
In one game and the first game of the season. So, like, not even just one game. Like, they did it in the first game of the season. It was like, hey, let's get this out of the way. And so that's the thing. It's like, statistically, can it get better for them? Of course it can. But, like, will it get better for them? I don't know. Like,
171 yards of total offense. Daniel Jones picked off twice, sacked seven times. What can we? And Saquon Barkley had 12 carries for 51 yards. Like, Daniel Jones ran more than Saquon, and 13 carries. Is this from what do we know about the Giants so far? I mean, from preseason. Is this still supposed to be the Saquon Barkley show? And if Saquon isn't being a superhuman, is this unit as limited as before? I know they added some targets. They added Darren Waller. They got Paris Campbell. But are these weapons significantly better than what they were a year ago?
Yeah, and, you know, you look at just the way that their game unfolded, right? Like, let's start with this. Like, what do they have outside of Barkley if Darren Waller doesn't play? Like, what strikes fear into you? I know, and it's not being disrespectful. It's really not.
And it's because they do have talented players. Like, Darius Slayton is no slouch. Paris Campbell's talent. Sterling Shepard. But they're complementary. Like, what they've proven to be are complementary players, right?
Right. Like if you look at it, like, Paris Campbell might be a low-end two. You know, you've got Darius Slayton, who might be a low-end two. You got Isaiah Hodgins, who might be a low end three, right? Like, so you have all those guys. And so you're like, okay, what are we doing? You know, Jalen Hyatt barely played in the game. Like, so what are they? And so that's where it comes from. Like, if Saquon Barkley is not carrying this offense and Darren Waller's not in the game, it's really, very similar to the Arizona Cardinals, right? Like they don't have, and I would even say at that point, you would say the Cardinals have the more high-end playmakers. I wouldn't just say like flat out better, but they would have the more high-end playmakers.
Right, because like, I think you like Hollywood better than any of the receivers that the Giants have. You'd take Waller over Ertz, obviously. You'd take Saquon over Connor. And then the offensive line, the issue is that if Andrew Thomas isn't playing, protection's an issue. But defensively, so do we know anything defensively? You know, granted, Dallas is one very, very good team. But defense, like, Dallas didn't do much offensively. They had 265 yards of offense. Dak had 143 yards passing. They only rushed. They did rush for 122 yards. This was, but they didn't have to, because when they score on special teams, you score on defense, and you don't allow the opponent to do anything, your offense doesn't need to do much.
I love Dexter Lawrence, their interior defensive lineman. I think he's genuinely one of the better players in the NFL. I would love to have a guy like that on the Arizona Cardinals. I mean, you know, we do the weekly questions with the enemy, right? And that's one of the questions they asked is, if you had to pick one player, who would it be? And I think most people would just assume you take Andrew Thomas. And ideally, you know, for the Cardinals, Paris Campbell is an equal to what Andrew Thomas has become in his career as a second team All-Pro guy last year. Just got a 5-year, $125 million contract. But man, Dexter Lawrence, I mean, a 6'4", 340-pound interior two-way guy
he's a difference maker.
He is. And you know, last week, he's the only guy that got any pressure on the quarterback. You know, and like you said, Dallas is a really solid offensive line. You know, Dak Prescott's a very athletic quarterback, but he's literally the only guy that did anything on this team. I mean, and so when you look at it, Kayvon Thibodeau had a nice rookie season last year. You know, he's a very good player. Wink used him. I kind of talked about it a little bit last week. They used him in an interesting way, dropping him into coverage as much as they did. Like, you know, and I realized that, like, when I talked about that, it's kind of different, right? I was complimenting Nick Rallis and Jonathan Gannon for how they used their edge rushers and were multiple and dropped those guys into coverage. But I mean, Thibodeau was drafted to be a pass rusher. Like, that's the difference for me, is like you drafted this guy fifth overall in the draft to get after the passer. And like, it's like what we used to scream about with Chandler Jones, right? Like, why is he covering a running back? Like, why is he not attack? Like, that's where I got with that last week. You know, but the defense, it's solid if unspectacular. I mean, that's what they've been. You know, Wink's a good defense coordinator.
They should have been better up front, because in addition to Dexter Lawrence, you still got a talented Leonard Williams. They added A'shaun Robinson because they wanted to do better at stopping the run, and you know, they didn't really help in week one, which I don't feel that their front is as strong as Washington's, obviously, because across the middle, when you get Jonathan Allen and the other guy, Daron Payne, plus Montez Sweat, plus, and they didn't have Chase Young. So, but everywhere across the board, would you say that the Giants' defense is less than what Washington's is?
Yeah, definitely. Like, they're just, you know, they should be a superior offensive team and a slightly inferior defensive team. And you know, and it's week one, so there's not much we can go on. Like you said, they just, their defense, I mean, like you said, 265 total yards of offense for the Cowboys. If you do that in most games, you expect to win, you know, and that's just... That's just the reality.
The Cardinals who held the Washington Commanders to let 248 yards, but then they only had 210 of their own.
Well, and that's the thing you look at. Like, it's crazy to look at what the Cardinals did in offense or defense and special teams, especially like if you go to a site like Pro Football Reference, right? They have the expected points, and the Cardinals defense and special teams were in the positive, which is not something we've seen in a lot of the Cliff Kingsbury era. Now, you know, in the Jonathan Gannon era is different, but their offense was negative 20. So that's how bad their offense was. Like,
yeah.
So you get a performance like that defensively where your expected points from your defense and special teams is 14. And then your offensive expected points is negative 20. Like, that's an absurd stat. And to reference that, like, what I mean by that is, like, if you go to the Giants expected points, their offense's expected points was negative 27. So it was 8 points worse than the Cardinals. Like, that's how bad their offense was, but their defense was negative 9 points. So, like, their entire team was significantly worse than the Cardinals. You know, and that's a huge thing, but the Cardinals have to do it against what is on paper a better offensive unit. Now, again, if they're without Andrew Thomas and they're without Darren Waller, that changes things, because their offensive line, they literally, I mean, and again, we're using PFF grades and stuff like that, and, you know, you can take those with all the salt that you need to, but that's just a reference we can use. And there was not a worse offensive lineman in the NFL than Mark Lewinsky last week, and he is now back at it. And you know, the Giants fans, on what I'm reading, you know, and seeing, is they're like, what are we doing? Like, why is this guy being run out there again? Like, how is this even a thing? And like, it's not like he was the worst for, like, you know, for one game. Like, he was genuinely the, like, worst pass blocker in the NFL, like, for it, that started a game. Like, it was that bad. And that's really hard to do. And he played 70 snaps and 49 were passing snaps. Like, it's just, it was bad. And then John Michael Schmitz, a guy that you and I both loved in the draft, looked completely overwhelmed in the game. You know, and Osa Adigizuwu is a guy that I like coming out of UCLA a couple years ago, had a great game for the Cowboys. He gave Michael Schmitz real, you know, fits. On top of that, you know, then you saw the way they were using Micah Parsons, and he's maybe the, you know, one of the top, what, three defensive players alive. So, you know, the Cardinals don't necessarily have that to throw at the Giants, but the way that they created pressure against a line that is probably, without Andrew Thomas there, is probably, and this is probably recency bias, but it's probably worse, wouldn't you say? Than, like, without Andrew Thomas, the Giants line is worse than the Commanders line, wouldn't you say?
I mean, yes. Yes.
It's hard.
Because, like, Thomas gives them that anchor at left tackle. And so, yeah, it's, I am, but they're probably on par. They're probably kind of right there.
And so you can look at it, and I mean, the Cardinals were number one in pass rush rate via, what was it, the NFL.com, whatever it was that they used. Matt Pert is a guy that Giants fans are not excited about to start at left tackle for Andrew Thomas. Former seventh overall pick Evan Neal is basically, they're done with him in year two. Like, they're just done. And so, you know, you look at it, and like I said, Golowinski was legitimately the worst offensive lineman pass protection in the NFL. He had 3 sacks, 1 hit, and 5 hurries on the day. And like, that's nine quarterback disruptions allowed in 44 snaps is absurd.
Yeah.
And by the way, he also had two penalties. So like, it was just, you know, it's just one of those situations that you would hope that they would be able to continue to bring that type of pressure, because we saw last week what it does to a quarterback. And I would say Daniel Jones is a better quarterback than Sam Howell. Yes. You know, he did a really nice job last year.
Lots of people, Daniel Jones is a better quarterback than Kyler Murray's, but that's a different story.
Yeah. So, I mean, so you look at it, it's going to be an interesting test, because like you said, like, it's a heavy, heavy recency bias.
Yeah.
So we just have to kind of take a step back and see what happens.
Yes. So coming up next on the Rise Up Series podcast, Spencer Cardinals talking about it. Let's move on to now talk about the matchups. Let's talk about the keys for a potential win for the Cardinals and what matchups we're looking for. That's coming up next on Rise Up Series. We're back on the Rise of Sea Red podcast, the best of Cardinals talk on the web. We had some really nice performances last week from the Cardinals. I mean, the entire defensive line was spectacular. Let's kind of talk about the keys first. I think it's going to come down to, right, for me, basically two things. Can they replicate what they did defensively against Washington? And you kind of like the potential to. Let's look at this. Okay, they had 6 sacks last week. Daniel Jones was sacked 7 times last week. In 2 games that Daniel Jones, now they're 2 completely different defenses, but in 2 games that the Cardinals have played Daniel Jones, he's been sacked 14 times. And so, at least when it comes to pass protection, you feel pretty confident that the Cardinals can disrupt Daniel Jones and then probably get him to make a mistake. And I think that will be ultimately, do they need to get 6-7 sacks in this game? No, but I think they need to be able to generate pressure the way they did against the Commanders. But then the other half of that is they can, and we talked about it last week, the Cardinals can't afford to turn the ball over. Like, basically, they have to, like, as bad as they are offensively, they have to be perfect in taking care of the ball, because if they don't, they'll lose. And that's exactly what happened last week. Those 2 turnovers by Josh Dobbs turned into 10 Washington points, and that was the ball game.
Yeah, and you know, the Cardinals have to do a better job protecting Dobbs, but you know, it was an interesting, I don't know if you saw it, play that, if you remember, they called Will Hernandez for illegal man downfield. Do you remember that?
Yes. Yes, I do.
And there was a play. That play, they threw a little out to Jeff Swaim. He gained, I don't know, 15, 16 yards on the play. There was about just under 5 minutes in the game, and they called it. That was one of the just like most pedantic calls I can remember, because if you go back and watch now, Hernandez tried to block somebody and missed and fell down front of the line of scrimmage.
Oh my gosh.
So like, he wasn't downfield blocking, like he wasn't, so he literally whiffed on a block
and fell to the ground
and fell forward and then stood up and turned around and they threw the flag. And it's like, really? Like, that was such, like, okay, it's the letter of the law, I get it. But it's like, really, like, that's a referee's judgment there, where you're like, oh, he just missed the block. Like, it wasn't like he was downfield looking for work or something, you know, in that situation. And then the next play, you know, Montez Sweat, who's a monster, a, you know, incredible talent, comes up with a huge play and knocks up, and that just, you know, that changed the game completely. And so you look at that. So it's not just that they have to do a better job of protecting Josh Dobbs, literally, but they have to do a better job of protecting Josh Dobbs from having to make a play. Does that make sense? Like,
yeah. Well, like, and then we said that He's not a playmaker. Like, the best that you're going to get is a caretaker of the offense who dinks and dunks and gets them, maybe makes, and he did. He made basically one big play throw, and that was in the first quarter. What was that, in the first drive? The 31-yard wheel route to Rondell Moore.
Yeah.
Interesting note. In that opening drive, they had a 29-yard route from Hollywood, and they had a 31-yard pass to Rondell Moore. That's 60 yards. They had 150 yards the entire rest of the game after those two plays. Terrible. Yeah,
it was
terrible.
Yeah, and that's just kind of what they are, unfortunately, right? Like, they just lack a guy that they trust to make plays and push the ball down the field. So, you know, it was a tough one. But you look at now this week, and like you said, there's not the defensive front that you have to worry about. There's not the pass rush that you have to worry about. So if you can contain Dexter Lawrence, you feel like you've got a really nice opportunity to stay in second and third and manageable situations for Dobbs, right?
Yes, I do feel that. Do they – what are other keys? Like, I think if they're – well, they have to – they cannot give up – they cannot give big plays to Barkley.
They basically have to
Barkley can have a volumish game. Like, he can have 70, 80, 90 yards, but it's got to be 4 yards at a time.
Yeah, it has to be one of those games where he gets 25 touches and 125 yards. Like, you know, whether it's through the air, on the ground, and he does 125 yards of offense, and then, you know, they throw for another 125 yards. And you're like, hey, that was a great game. The defense has to continue to perform in this way because, again, as soon as you start to ask Josh Dobbs to win you a game, you're going to lose a game. And we legitimately saw that. Like, when he didn't have to make a play, when the game was in that, you know, ebb and flow of you know, the early game, he was fine. Field goals leading to punts, but as soon as he started to feel like he needed to make a play, or they asked him to make a play, you had you know, the strip sack, and then you just had the boneheaded play where it's like, hey dude, just pick up the ball and live to punt. Like, you can't continually try to do more than what your ability is. And so that's the big thing. I think the other thing is they have to continue to play lights out on special teams. I thought that was a huge, huge, huge thing from last week. They played really, really well on special teams. And then I think they got to figure out a way to get Connor going more this week. You talked about 122 rushing yards for the Cowboys. The Cardinals, you know, last week on the ground, they only had 96 rushing yards. So that's got to be, and like you said, what was that, 30 of it was Rondell, or
it was 29
Rondell,
of it was Hollywood.
Yeah, so
you got to love your backup running back Keonta Ingram, who had 4 carries for minus 10 yards, 4 consecutive minus carries before he had a 6-yard gain at the end. But like his first, he had 4 carries for minus 10 yards and ended up with 5 carries for minus 4. That's less than ideal.
Well, right. And you look at it, and let me ask you this. Like, is 20 touches where you think Connor needs to be? I feel like
that's probably what you can, like, you give him, like, all as it is. He had, what, 19 touches?
Yeah.
And he's already on the injury report. So,
yeah. that's what I was going to ask you is, like, how do you game plan for that? Because, you know, Brown had 4 touches for 57 yards. Marquise had 5 for 45. And then Connor had 19, just call it 20 for 70, right? So,
yeah. I think that's probably the sweet spot for Connor. They just need more from the receivers in the passing game, which you're probably not going to get much more with Josh Dobbs at quarterback.
Well, I'll say this. the 5 receptions for 8 yards cannot happen again for James Conner. If that happens again, they're probably going to lose. Like,
that's true.
Like, they can't
Washington
average.
Had him so bottled up that that was great defense by on those plays, and also that was just after, like, I will say this, and this was likely because of the defense, that the offensive game plan after the initial drive was very unimpressive, either just because of circumstance or whatever, because it was dump off, dump off, dump off, and Washington tackled extremely well.
Right. Well, and you look at it again, you know, one of the situations you have is, you know, he's running for 4.4 yards a pop. You know, why are we force feeding him passes? And not getting the ball even out of the backfield to Rondell a little more, right? Like, you know, and Rondell had 3 receptions for 33 yards. And like you said, one of those was 31 yards. So he had 2 catches for 2 yards after that. So like that got back to what we complained a lot about with Cliff, right? Like, what are we doing? Like, let's get the ball down the field or in space a little more. Why is everything in congestion and things like that? So
that was the result of the fact that Washington was getting to the quarterback pretty regularly.
Right.
But schematically is that. Now, matchups that we want to watch, I don't know who's going to be playing. So Zaven against Matt Peart, I think, is one we want to see, right? Because of what Zaven did in the last game. And
Well, and I think you really have to be excited about Dennis Gardeck against Evan Neal, because Evan Neal looked sluggish. I don't know if I think that's something that New York can take advantage of in the run game, right? Because Neal is just such a massive human being. But
and that's where Victor Dimakaji comes in, because you realize, like, remember it felt, you said it on the last show, is that it felt like Gardeck played more than he did. And the fact that he's listed as the starter, but it was actually Victor Dimakaji who was in there in those base defenses. He's a strong run stopper, like, at least in terms of discipline. And it'll be interesting to see if that's how they combat that, is to schematically try and force things with Saquon that way. But yeah, I was like, yeah, Dark Gardeck versus Evan Neal, Zaven against Matt Peart.
I mean, LJ Collier hasn't practiced this week, so he may not play. But I'd like to see, you know, these guys on the interior take advantage of Glowinski and Michael Schmitz and you know, their struggles. You know, they're not Osa Odighizuwu, but they can give you something. And I thought they did a really nice job in week 1 of, you know, feeding off each other and when they had their opportunity, making plays, you know, and the Cardinals need Kaiser White, Buda Baker and Jalen Thompson to really, really take care of Saquon Barkley. If Darren Waller plays, it just becomes a different matchup, because nobody in the NFL, even the Cardinals, but nobody in the NFL has anybody that can match up with Darren Waller. Like, he's just that good, but he's had a hamstring issue. He continues to deal with that hamstring issue. My philosophy, again, 100% would be to, if these guys can go, they would go against the Cardinals over holding them out and going against the 49ers in San Francisco. But that's just how I would do things.
Right.
You know, so on the flip side, they have to look at it and they go, you know, if they hold them out, you know, especially Andrew Thomas and Darren Waller, it's a whole different ball game, really. Because like I said, like the receivers aren't as good as Washington's. The running back's better, without question. And that's no shot at Brian Robinson or Antonio Gibson, but Saquon Barkley is just a special talent.
He's special.
You know, but the wide receivers in Washington are far superior. The offensive line is probably a wash if Andrew Thomas doesn't play, if not a slight lean to Washington. And then Daniel Jones has to, I mean, he has to respond from last week because it was bad. Like this is, that was one of the worst quarterback performances we've seen in a long, long time. From a guy that's getting paid $40 million a year now.
Right. And well, we've seen it. Like he was better with the football last year, but what made him better last year, like basically his success last year was doing less.
Right.
Oh yeah. It was doing less. Now he did run the ball. Like they used his legs more last year. And that was something he ran the ball 13 times last week and he was sacked 7 times. So he's getting a lot of use, but the problem was, is that there was no playmaking. He was under duress the entire game. And which for me it's you like the potential of that because the Cardinals showed the ability to get to the quarterback. The Cardinals historically, they historically get to the quarterback with Daniel Jones. I mean, 14 sacks in 2 games. Daniel Jones has been sacked 14 times in 2 games with the Cardinals. So yeah, but like, other than that, I think it would be a combination of Kaiser and Jalen Thompson that's going to be covering Waller.
Yeah, you would think so, wouldn't you? I mean, they're not going to put Kaiser, and I think they do have so much zone coverage that, you know, it's going to be a team effort with things. I don't think they ran a ton of man last week. I'd have to go back and look at.
It didn't feel like it.
All the snaps, but with how much they were dropping their ends into coverage, it felt like they were in a lot of zone last week. You know, but yeah, you would think that it's going to be a combination of Zaven, Kaiser, who was the safety they brought in that now Kayvon Wallace,
yeah.
You know, and Jalen Thompson, and then you know they'll do some things to throw some stuff at Daniel Jones and just see if they can continue to make him look bad. Because I mean, you look at last year and you talked about it, and I'm trying to find the number. I can never find this. But so last year he had 5 interceptions all year. You know, he threw 2 already this year. But I'm trying to see, did he lose either of those fumbles last week? I don't know how to look, but anyways, he fumbled twice in the game. Obviously it was raining. I get that. It was a torrential downpour.
No, he recovered both of them. He recovered both of them.
But this is a dude that he's gotten better, but remember as a rookie, he had 19 fumbles. His second year, he had 10 fumbles. That was one of the problems he was having, right? Is that he struggled to control the ball. And so, you know, he's already had 2 interceptions and 2 fumbles. Again, I get the weather is a huge aspect of it. I truly, truly understand that. But it's just, man, that's a tough way to come out. So as the Cardinals, you have to start, you have to get pressure on him early in order to make sure that he doesn't, that doesn't get comfortable and continues to struggle.
Coming up next on the Rise Up Seaward podcast, Best of Cardinals Talk, and let us wrap this up, make our predictions, our picks, and talk about some of the prop bets some of the props that we like for this game. That's coming up next on Rise Up Seared. We're back on the Rise Up Seared podcast, the Best of Cardinals Talk on the web. This game, and so the Cardinals have to, if they're going to win a game, this is the one to win. Now,
yeah, it gets really hairy after.
Yeah, it does. So I believe, and what we saw last week helps me feel confident. I've always felt that this is the game that the Cardinals would win because I don't believe in the Giants. Giants. I did not believe, like, I don't believe that they are going to be as good as that were they were last, or as disciplined, or as lucky, and they sneaked into the playoffs. And granted that if this is a hungry squad, they're going to come out and they're going to try and punch the Cardinals in the mouth. They're going to try smash mouth football with Saquon Barkley. But the way the Cardinals defense played, combined with what we saw in limited action in the preseason, gives me, I trust right now against less than elite offenses that this defense is going to be very physical and is going to make things difficult for them. And with that, if there's any offensive improvement, which there should be, simply more time on task. And two, New York's defense is not as strong as Washington's.
No, they shouldn't present the same type of problem.
And so the offense should be better, and I believe the defense can have the same sort of success. So, you know, for my over at Sportsbook Wire, I ride an underdog picks every week. And last week I went 3-0, you know, ooh, toot my horn. But I had the Cardinals covering last week, and I'm going to the well again. Now, I was not bold enough for the column to say the Cardinals would cover the 5.5 points. That was the line then. I think 5.5 points is crazy. I know that some sports books that have it down to, they have it down to 4. Let me actually see what it is on BetMGM right now. It is down to 4, 4-point favorites, but I actually have the Cardinals winning this game. I think it'll be ugly. 2017, maybe 23-20. So I'm not as confident in the total, but it's going to be a close, ugly game. I think that's the only way the Cardinals will be able to win until Kyler gets back.
Yeah, and you know, I'm of the opinion that this is a game that's close again. But until I see something, because remember, neither of these teams have scored an offensive touchdown this season. And the Giants obviously haven't scored a point, but the only team in the NFL, which is crazy. But their offense has more competency than the Cardinals from just historically. So I'm still taking the Giants to win, but again, and it kills me that they moved the line because I had it 17-13. So I've got a push now.
Got a push.
But I've had it 17-13, Giants win. I had it, again, Cardinals cover, Giants money line, or their opponent money line, and the under. That's where I would be right now. If you gun to my head, I would still take the Cardinals to cover. I'm not impressed with the Giants enough to hear or to make a different call. But we'll see. I mean, because all it takes is one, right? It just takes one to get going.
Yeah. Let's look at some of the player props. There aren't a ton for this game. I think that's going to be the case all year for the Cardinals. But if we're looking at passing props, 184.5 is the line for Josh Dobbs.
Under.
What about 207.5 for Daniel Jones?
Oh, see, I think that they could throw the ball enough that he could hit that, but I'm going to go under on that one too.
I would agree on both of those. Touchdown passes.
Dude, but can we address the why on earth is this over under 40?
Well, 40's honestly, last week it was 38, and that's the lowest in the entire NFL.
I know. I would have gone 36.5. I would have been like, when any team scored offensive touchdown, then I'll make a decision.
I guess that makes sense. I don't think I've ever seen, I'm trying to think back, I don't know if I've seen a projected total lower than 38. And I believe, though, if you're just going by reputation, you know, New York's offense is considered better than Washington's.
Yeah. I understand that, yeah.
And I'm right there on that board because I think it might be 23-20. And so like if 40 is really, ooh, that's really close. Touchdown passes. They have a really stupid one here. So Josh Dobbs, over half a touchdown. So over 0.5 would be minus 210. I don't even know about that.
I wouldn't take it. Like, if you're
gonna you get nice plus odds at plus 155 on the under for that.
Yeah, and I think, yeah, plus 150. Yeah, it's minus 200. That the juice is just not worth the squeeze on that. Like, no. It's just. So, I wanted to ask you about one because there's two that I really like, but there's one that I think is, like, one that I would hammer, and that's Daniel Jones rushing total. Now, we use DraftKings because that's what they have us use. He hit 43 last week. He's historically, since Dable took over, he's averaging, what was he at last year? Let's see, 44 per game. I feel like he's going to hover right around that 40 number. I would.
What's the line on DraftKings? On BetMGM, it's 34.5.
34.5 for minus 115. I feel like that's an easy over.
Especially if the Cardinals can limit Saquon at all.
Right.
He's going to have to get out of trouble. Yeah, that's a good one. But what about the numbers for Saquon and Connor? 73.5 for Saquon, 64.5 for Connor.
Do you think, I mean, that's the thing, if Arizona actually is able to force them to beat them through the air, Saquon's not going to get enough touches.
Right, like last week, 12 carries. I guess we'd have to say, interestingly enough, at least on BetMGM, that the under is the slight favorite at 73.5. They have minus 110 for over 73.5 and minus 120 at under 73.5, which is kind of, I guess, the juice is different on this one. It's normally minus 110, but these are minus 115 on those. So, yeah, you know, if the Cardinals are going to play the way we think, or at least I think they're going to, I think that's a safe one is to say is under 73.5 in that I would go with over 64.5 for Connor. Not because I think he's going to have a big game, but I think he'll probably be around the kind of 70, 75-yard mark.
And what is your odds at for that?
It's minus 115 on both of those.
So if you want to follow Jess, DraftKings right now, this is Thursday night at 10 p.m., has it at plus 100. It's an even money bet.
That's nice.
If you want to bet the over James Conner yards.
Now, this is on the NFL Wire. So all the NFL Wire editors this year, we do a best bet for our games. And so every game has every writer, and I picked mine. This is my favorite one. And that would be Daniel Jones over 0.5 interceptions at plus 155. That's a really good price. That's a really good line for a guy that's known for turning the ball over and a Cardinals team that has proven, at least in one game, that they can take the ball away. He has one interception in two career games against the Cardinals, but yeah, I like that one. I think the Cardinals will get a turnover like that. And so, you know, take that one to the bank. That'd be wonderful.
Yeah, and it's plus 160 on DraftKings. So it's one that I think everybody's thinking that he'll course correct against Arizona, but it feels like a lot of people. It's funny, and this kind of rounds out how we started, right? Like, it's funny that these odds are so heavily favored in the Giants doing outside of the Barkley one. And the Giants doing well and rebounding and discounting what the Cardinals did in week one. And I understand it. I do to an extent. But like you look at it, you know, Daniel Jones, like you said, over 207.5, his over 1.5 touchdowns is slightly plus money. Whereas Josh Dobbs just to throw a touchdown to minus 200, you know, right? Like Yeah, that's absurd, man. You know, Darius Slayton, who didn't have a big week, or Isaiah Hodgins, or Paris Campbell, their odds are all pretty interesting over for the over. You know, 31.5 for both Slayton and Hodgins, and Campbell over 24.5 are all -115 or -120. Like, it's weird that they're expecting a bounce back from the Giants and then just kind of discounting what the Cardinals did last week. Like, oh, that was the fluke, not,
yeah,
you know, like both teams were fluky last week, right? Like the Giants were fluky in how bad they played. And so I think that's going to be the theme until it's maybe week, you know, 4 or 5, if they can play close against these better teams as they come up.
And yeah, absolutely. And with that, we can wrap up this edition of the Rise Up Secret Podcast, episode 461. We have one more show coming, so this will go live on Friday, recording Thursday night. I have a show, the next show coming up is a preview with Giants wire managing editor Dan Benton, where we'll get into some of the same things, but it will not be from just a Cardinals perspective, because, you know, me and Seth, we definitely give the Cardinals perspective, but we'll get a little bit from the other side of things. So with that, that's Seth Cox. I'm Jess Root. This is Rise Up Secret Podcast. We'll be back with another show tomorrow. And then Seth and I will be back recording on a Tuesday night. You'll hit that on Wednesday. Thanks for listening, as always.
Thanks for listening to the latest edition of the Rise Up Sea Red Podcast. Listen to previous episodes and subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher Radio, Audioboom, or many other podcast platforms so shows are delivered directly to your mobile device. Please give the show a 5-star rating and always support the sponsors who support the show. We'll be back soon for the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. Rise up, Red Sea, be Red Sea Red, and of course, Rise Up Sea Red.